Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
France faces a day of national strikes as President Macron's retirement reforms divide the country. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for being with us. The plans include pushing the country's retirement age up to 64 years old and are facing major pushbacks from unions. Hailed by the government as a vital measure to safeguard France's share-out pension system, the reform is proving deeply unpopular amongst the public, with 68% saying they are opposed, according to a poll from IFOP this week. We've been taking a look at some of the issues and the potential impact on the economy. Pension wars, round two. In 2019, thousands took to the streets across the country for almost 3 months. Today, they'll be back, with unions calling for a million people to walk out over President Macron's pension reforms.
The reform is just unfair.
Christian Bonielli is from one of France's biggest trade union umbrella groups, the CFDT.
In the sense that the problem for us is that if you ask people to work longer, you really have to address the issues of elder workers. Because what we know is after 50 years old, companies try to put them out of the labor market. We're just asking for an effort to have invest more in upskilling, for example, reskilling. When we look at our pension system, we want to talk about the length of the pension contribution period. It's unfair because of the burden sharing. In this reform, the burden sharing is completely on the worker side.
These strikes, as you know, Christian, last time were extremely disruptive. We all get that that is the point of a strike. But a lot of people that were really hurt by that disruption were people who are hospitality workers, people who work in small businesses, people who aren't living off huge, great pensions. What do you say to them as they sit there perhaps fearing again that their business could be in danger again because of these strikes?
I would like to underline the fact that CFDT, it's a very pragmatic organization. And for us, the strike and the collective action are last resort. We put forward a counter proposal to fix the financing issues that the government has raised, but they didn't take it properly into account. So now all the trade unions organization are involved in this mobilization. And that clearly demonstrates the opposition to this reform.
Rail passengers today are likely to hear that message. Some flights will be delayed too, and workers from sectors ranging from healthcare to oil refinery workers to teaching staff are all set to walk out. The government, though, says these reforms are vital for the economy and are about fairness, as the French Prime Minister Elisabeth Borne set out.
A fair system means allowing those who started working early to retire earlier. In 2030, when the legal retirement age will have been raised to 64, it will remain at 58 for those who started working very early.
Still, the disruption and harm to businesses, big and small, caused by the strikes could be huge. In 2019, they nearly sunk Jennifer Cohen-Solal's patisserie delivery business.
Yes, I'm sorry to be the party pooper, but for a small company like us, it's a survival question. And actually, we lost like 50% of our business. Really, I think if it lasts like more than a month, we will be in danger.
So, the key question, just how popular or unpopular are the reforms and the strikes? These people in Paris gave us a snapshot.
Changing the pension system is essential, but I wonder, why is it done only on the backs of employees and retirees? Why not on capital income?
We are once again asking French people to pay, to contribute longer. It's money that's available elsewhere. Incomprehensible.
I don't think it's tough enough. We're a country of lazy people. If you want your pension, you have to work.
Well, for more on that, I asked David Dubois from the INSEAD School of Management in Paris, who's been modelling just that on his analysis tool, lafranceenligne.com.
They're clearly worried and they're looking for more information about what that might entail for them. They think that they may actually receive less money. They may be worried that it may have an impact, not for them, but for their kids. So we see a very broad interest. People obviously are questioning the fairness of the reform.
What about in terms of disruption? Can we discern who they are blaming?
They're blaming the government. Another big keyword that not surprisingly comes up quite often is Macron. I think what's interesting about what the data tells us is that it tells us a little bit about the sociology of the movement. You basically have a picture of France that is very different from the last big social movement we had, which is the Yellow Vest movement. So here, when you look at the sociology and the geography of searches, mostly comes from rural areas, areas that are relatively cut off, far from urban centers. These tend to be areas that are politically disengaged, which is not the case for the Yellow Vest movement, where living conditions are particularly harsh. And so, you know, what it tells me is that this movement is really that of part of France that is struggling right now.
David Dubois there. Well, let's see what reaction there's been on the markets as the strike kicks off. In Paris, the CAC 40 down just over 1%. Frankfurt's DAX also down 1%. Elsewhere, shares in the British footwear brand Doc Martens are getting crushed on the London Stock Exchange today, down 25% right now after the company found problems in its US supply chain. The firm blamed significant operational issues at its LA distribution center for the drop in revenue in its largest market, as well as unseasonably warm weather after its revenue for 3 months to December came in lower than expected. It did say, though, it had opened 3 temporary warehouses in the US to try and ease the bottleneck. A new study says 2 billion tons of carbon dioxide is being removed from the atmosphere each year, mostly by the world's forests and soils. But human activity releases more than 36 billion tons of CO2 annually. Campaigners want more investment, therefore, in carbon capture and storage technologies to try and limit global warming. As the BBC's Jonah Fisher explains.
One of the most significant is called BECCS, which involves basically taking organic matter, that might be crops or wood, and burning them for energy, but making sure that the carbon dioxide that's released is captured and then buried in the ground or something else done with it. And there are also big facilities being built at the moment, one in particular in the middle of the United States, which effectively suck in the air and process it to withdraw the carbon dioxide from it. So huge, great sort of air sucking machines that suck it in, process it, and then bury the carbon dioxide underground.
That's our environment reporter Jonah Fisher there. Well, let's head to Pakistan, where the former Prime Minister Imran Khan is warning that the Pakistan economy could follow Sri Lanka into an economic collapse if there's not a general election early this year. Mr. Khan was ousted in a vote of no confidence in April last year. The current Prime Minister of Pakistan, Shehbaz Sharif, says his efforts to disrupt politics in Pakistan are adding to the country's economic issues. That's Mr. Khan's efforts. Imran Khan has been speaking to our Pakistan correspondent, Caroline Davis.
The only way Pakistan could get economic stability is through free and fair elections. Free and fair elections where a government backed by a popular mandate, that's the beginning of getting economic stability.
But those elections are due to happen this year. What you are calling for is to have them earlier. What's the difference? It's just a few months, but the fact that you're doing this could cause further economic damage. Will you acknowledge that?
Actually, the damage has been done. It's only going to get worse. The longer this government stays, the worry in Pakistan is we could have a Sri Lanka-type situation.
So what is your economic plan?
Number one, political stability. Number two, taking tough decisions like rule of law in Pakistan. Look, what brings in investors is good governance. Governance comes in through rule of law. At the moment, there is no rule of law.
And finally, a good deed that appeared to backfire. A takeaway owner in Edinburgh, Scotland, who pledged to give away free pizzas to help with the cost of living crisis, says he wildly underestimated the popularity of his gesture and has been overwhelmed by queues. Don't worry, there has been help from as far away as well wishes from India. I'm Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.